Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
What's your favorite Christmas carol? Little Drummer Boy. Oh, Holy Night. That's a gooder. Wonderful Christmas Time. Okay. I don't know if I've heard of that song. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Here we dream of tropical Christmases. It's good. Oh, Holy Night, I think, is my favorite Christmas carol. And there is a line from the third verse that, or the first two lines of the third verse, truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. And then this next line, which was very pertinent to the era in which it was written in the 1800s, chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. And I cry at everything, you know? just like, guys, I need a pill to stop this. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. I think, like, of all the things that we sing theologically, this is actually super, super accurate from a theological perspective, is that he came to teach us to love one another. He came to teach us to live differently. And he didn't just come to earth to tell us about the love of God, but he came to show us the true nature of God's love. And I seem to get assigned this love subject every year at Advent season. I always get the love one. It's either the staff is trying to tell me I need to learn something and study the subject a little deeper. Well, let's look at this. John 3:16. For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This is, you know, I'd say culturally, this is the verse that even non-Christians know, because it gets held up at football games and people have shirts. But this is really the essence of the heart of God, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. And this was motivated by love. God loved the world in this way, that he sent, he gave. And this is, you know, we live in a time where the very definition of love has been altered to mean many things. And even culturally, we're not always sure what is love. Like, what does love look like in this situation? Is love never hurting someone else's feelings? Is it wishing warm thoughts to all people everywhere? That's a pretty lukewarm version of love. Is it having strong feelings of affection for others in whatever situation they're at, or whatever circumstance they're facing, or whatever struggles they have? Is it feeling warm fuzzies for everyone everywhere? I think the real question is, what is biblical love? When it says God so loved the world, What does that word love actually mean? See, when the Bible talks about love, does it mean the same things as what we say about love? How do we define love? Is love is love an adequate definition of love? It's like dogs are dogs. Chips are chips. Love is love is maybe lacking a bit of definition. And our filters on love can confuse us. Does it mean I'm loving? Does it mean that I am not a loving person if I don't feel warm, fuzzy feelings of affection for everyone I encounter? Does it mean I have a love problem? Do I have to have warm, fuzzy feelings for everyone to be a loving person? Because if I do, I'm in trouble. A lot of you are in trouble too. I love hamburgers. Is God's love for me the same as my love for a hamburger? We use the word love loosely, don't we? I love chicken fingers! Like, when the Bible talks about love in this passage of Scripture, it's actually referring to a very specific kind of love. And many of you have heard the word here. It's called agape. Agape love, which is a Greek word for a very specific form of love. Now, I love the way the Greeks did things because they just, it's like, why have one word when you can have 72? And they just brought definition to everything. So there's different words for different kinds of love. There's a word for brotherly love. There's a word for maternal love. There's a word for sexual love. There's a word for greedy love. There's a word for, you know, they make these different descriptions, but there is one word that specifically stands out when it comes to God, and it's agape love. And this is the kind of love, this is how AI describes agape love. We actually have a Bible software program now that has built-in AI on it. It's actually pretty cool, but it's expensive. Agape love, this is how it describes it. Agape love is a divine, unconditional love that originates from God and is imparted to humans through the Holy Spirit. It's characterized by self-sacrifice and a desire for the well-being of others, regardless of their worthiness or likability. Wow, that's a good definition. This love is not based on emotions or romantic feelings, but rather on a conscious decision to act in the best interest of others, even at great personal cost. Agape love is described as an intellectual love, prompted by the understanding of Christ's sacrifice and commandments, rather than by personal affection. It is considered the highest and most radical form of love, demonstrating boundless compassion and infinite empathy. In Christian theology, agape is seen as the reflection of God's nature, with believers called to emulate this love in their interactions with others. I could just stop right there. It is the highest form. Agape love is seen in and it is a reflection of God's nature and the highest form of expression of love we find in Scripture. What stands out to me is it doesn't come from us. It comes from God through the Holy Spirit and goes through us. That's a bit relieving, actually, because we run out. We run out. You run out of patience. I run out of patience. It comes from God and it transforms us. It's neither, this is just freeing for me. Some of you are in the same camp as I am, but this is freeing to me, this next statement. It is neither rooted in nor dependent upon feelings or emotions, but it is an intellectual decision based on deep moral conviction to act in the best interest of others. You don't have to have the warm fuzzies because it is a love that's not based in feeling. And when it comes to living in love, it is at the indisputable top of the list of Christian virtues. Jesus, when asked what the two greatest commandments were, he did not hesitate. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And this is the greatest and most important command. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law of the prophets depend on these two commands. And then he added a third. The end of his time on earth, he added a third to his disciples. He said, the way that you've seen me love you, I want you to love each other the same way. So the top three commands, they're all agape love. They're all make the conscious decision to live in the love of God. And so there's some things that I think we need to remind ourselves about love. And if at any point this gets convicting, just nudge the person next to you and say, this is probably for you. Love is the most accurate measure of the depth of our spiritual walk. I want to say this in mind. This is agape love is the most accurate. It's not the warm, fuzzy love. It's the decision to love. It's the intellectual choice to love. You know, over the last 4 years, we've had a pretty consistent, significant emphasis on spiritual practices. And basically, if you're kind of new or you're just maybe here visiting, spiritual practices are basically, or some call them a rule of life. It's setting up routines and habits and patterns in your life that kind of develop structure in your life to live a godly life. But it's easy to get focused on just doing the things. You know, I need to get my chapters into my Bible. So you just like, you sit down, you just do. Done. Fastest devotional ever. And it's that type of, you know, just doing things just because they need to be done. We can forget why we're doing them. It's like, I need to take my wife on a date. We're supposed to date once a week. Good husbands date their wives. So where do you want to go? It's like you're missing the point of the practice. And it's so many times in life, isn't that the way we become? We get into the routines, but we miss the point of the routines. And the purpose of talking about practices or encouraging us to engage in these spiritual practices, it's not so we can be perfect people or be disciplined people. Or structured people. Although all those things are good. That's not the point. The point is to create routines and patterns in our life that continually move us towards a life of love. And not just any love. A life that's filled with the love of God. But also a life that can express the love of God. Because we live in a world that if you just kind of do your own thing and go your own way and just cruise, I find your love will grow cold. I find that our hearts, they just naturally harden on their own. And you have to actually have to take countermeasures to say, I'm going to resist allowing my heart to grow cold and allowing my heart to grow hard. The purpose of a rule of life or spiritual practices is to guide us more into the living a life of love. And not just any love, experiencing and sharing the agape love of God. And it's very important that we do keep that in mind, that this is these things that I practice, these are to move me into a life of love. Because if I just let them move me into a life of discipline, I actually find the more disciplined I get, the more judgy I get. It's like some of you that are on the discipline page, you understand exactly what I'm saying. In the last few years, now, you have to understand, for the first 46 years of my life, I ate like trash. I ate garbage. And I looked like I ate garbage. I did. But when I was 46, my wife had taken a picture of me at the beach with my shirt off, and I could have been a polar bear. Maybe not that bad. But I saw that, and I thought, is this the train we're on? Is this where I'm going? Like, are you going to take steps to change this? And so I got educated. I learned a little bit about food, things my wife had been trying to tell me for years and years and years and years and years. And I became one of the worst things, a born-again fitness person. Yes. Yeah. You all know one, or you are one. And so now if you crack open a can of pop in front of me, my first reaction is, you really going to drink that poison? It's really true. And those that know, know. It's just a can of diabetes right there. Do you want some material, a metabolic disease? I have become judgy. And I have to, you know, the one thing when you get structured, you have to resist the pull towards pride. Because when you get control of your life, it's easy to forget that, you know what, you weren't always in control of your life. And you might have control of one area of your life, and another area is completely out of control. What is the purpose of practices? It's to keep all of our life moving into the love of Christ. All of it. Even the judgy pop part. Agape love is that which extends past our own life. And I like the way that the one definition put it there, most likely at the expense of your own personal comfort. Agape love extends past our own life at the expense of our own comfort. So here's a good question. How do you react when you're inconvenienced? How do you act? How do you respond when you are asked to change your plans for others? I don't respond very good. You can ask my wife. She'll verify this. Did I mention I'm a structured person? Ask my wife how I react to surprise plans. Not good. How do we respond when our own personal comfort is withdrawn from us for someone else's sake? Okay, next point, Mike. The true test of spiritual growth.